Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Hello and welcome back. We are super excited because it has been 4 weeks since we've released.
4 weeks?
4 weeks. I know it seemed like forever, but it was important for us to have at least a little bit of room in between season one and season two. And so welcome back. We are so excited to have you and that you've decided to join us today. So I have John, obviously, my husband, with us.
Yes, I am here.
Yes, and we have a special guest. We have Tracy Sands joining us today.
Hi, everyone.
We're super excited for our subject today to talk it over with Tracy and get her thoughts about those things.
And Tracy, thank you for letting us come and mess up your house so that we could do this here.
Oh, that's fine. Anytime.
Anytime.
Just invading just a little bit. Exactly. We'll bring all of our wires and everything after.
That's right. That's right.
So, yes, super excited. The end of last season, we just kind of gave you a little bit of an idea of what we were going to be getting into, talking about identity. And then we did talk a little bit about, actually more, about what not to find your identity in. And like things like you do, and if you want to know more, feel free to go back and listen to the last one. It'll give you all the details you're looking for. But today we are going to talk about a new subject. But I do have a question for Tracy to start off, and for John also. Who do you think knew you best growing up?
So for me, it was my grandparents, because I spent the first 5 years of my life mostly with them. So they knew my likes, you know, how they could get me to do things, how to focus on things. And also they imparted their beliefs in me because I was with them and I loved them and I valued what was important to them. I valued.
Right.
You want to know what I think?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, let's just, in case you hear the dog. That's your dog. Your dog wants to be part of the show.
Yes.
That's Zeke.
Zeke's over there. I see Zeke. He's sitting there looking at us like, what are we doing? So the question, back to the question was, who do I think knew me best? I don't know. You didn't give me any forewarning that was going to be the question.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't.
So I don't know that I necessarily have a great answer. I mean, I guess I would want to think that my parents knew me best. They knew me first.
That's true. Yeah.
I guess I knew them first. I don't think I knew anybody else before them. I can't remember back that far, but that's what I think.
Yeah, I don't really know who knew me best, honestly. I would like to think my parents did, but I'm not sure. I don't know that a lot of people really knew who I was growing up, because I think I put on a lot of masks, but maybe occasional friend here and there. That I really decided to take my guard down, you know, but I don't know that a lot of people knew me a lot, you know. I don't know. I did not mean to get so dark so fast.
Yeah. Wow. You brought it down like 3 minutes in.
Debbie Downer. No. Sorry, anybody out there who has the name Debbie. Sorry.
No, I guess I didn't get from your question. I thought you were talking about like, I mean, I guess it was different people at different times growing up.
Yes.
Maybe. So yeah. I think I wasn't comprehending that part of the question either.
Right.
Because, I mean, when I was really small, I didn't know anybody else. But then over time, I mean, I think you go through times when you know different people. So
yes.
It could have
been
a cousin. It could have been a friend down the street. It could have been, you know.
Roommate.
Right. Because, you know, this is my best friend.
You know,
when I was in kindergarten, Rebecca Stewart, that was her name.
Oh.
She lived down the street. She was, you know, so I guess I would assume she knew me best, but she probably didn't. She probably just like, oh, you're the 4-year-old that's playing with me. You know,
you like grape bubblegum.
Exactly.
That's what I know.
You're the only boy in the neighborhood that'll come play Barbies with me. So that's what I did.
You always had friends that were girls.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And I always had friends that were guys.
It's So it works.
Yeah. Well, who do you feel knows you best now in your present life?
So I think there's a lot of people from different areas of my life. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in Pennsylvania, where mm-hmm. I'm from, right. They know me, and it's nice because I can call them if I got questions or I'm like needing somebody to pray with. I can call them, and they're like, absolutely. And it's almost like our friendship never, like, there wasn't that gap. Yes. Maybe I didn't talk to them for a while. So I think they know me, you know, well enough that it's from church. It's my kids, my grandchildren, you know.
Right.
They know how to push my buttons. so, you know.
They know you then.
They know me to do that.
Can we just say how cool it is that you're from Pennsylvania, too?
Yes.
Yes.
Since we're from Pennsylvania and, you know, now we're in Florida. I know I'm tangenting a lot today, but at 5 minutes in. But Tracy actually knows people that I'm related to, which is crazy because she moved here to Florida. How long have you lived in Florida?
Since June of 22.
So in June of 22, she moved here. She goes to our church and she happens to know like my mom's cousin, went to church with her. Like, so
we went to high school together.
Oh my goodness. High school too. Oh, so it's just crazy how much of a small world it is.
Yes. Yeah. I was ready to break out in song, but I didn't want to damage everybody today.
Which song is that?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Well, no, come on. What song were you going to break into? That's what I want to know.
It's a small world.
Oh, it's a small world. I didn't know where you were going with that.
I didn't want to hurt any, you know, once you get it in your head. So
I don't know that you legally can sing that on the podcast.
I'm not going to.
I thought it was going to be We Are Family.
There we go. Right.
That works too.
Right. So, yeah.
Very cool.
So that's who knows her best today. Who knows you best today, Hope?
I would probably say you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might know me best. I don't know. I'm just kidding. That would have been my answer.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So along with that, I think that most people like to hear their name or have somebody call their name. Like if you win a contest, you know, and it, like, you know, they're like, Tracy, you're like, yay, you know.
Yay.
Or, you know, if you're when you were younger and they had the sports teams and you had the captains who were picking and everything. And of course, you don't want to be the last one, which, you know.
Always. I was always the last one.
But, you know, when somebody would pick you and they would be like, oh, yes, you know, I got picked. It didn't even matter to me either one. As long as I wasn't the last one, I was excited.
That's what I'm saying. I never got picked.
I'm sorry.
I was the consolation prize to whoever
I
was
the last. I pick you, honey. I pick you.
Thank you for picking me.
You want to play soccer?
No, I'm good.
No, okay. But anyway, so, I mean, a lot of people like to hear their name called, you know, and I think that that is kind of a way of being known, you know, people see you instead of going, hey, you know, no one wants to be like, hey, you, I mean, you might answer to it, but you don't feel like they know you, like it's a good part of who you are. Your name, you know? And so I was thinking about the story of Mary Magdalene in the Bible, and she really, really, really loved Jesus, but not from the beginning. But it happened that when she was ridden with demons and Jesus delivered her from 7 demons, along with some other women right around the same time, healed them of their sicknesses and delivered them from the demons. And she just had such a devotion to him. She loved him so much. I mean, it was just this, you know, he delivered her. And so it was, I mean, had to have been a torturous life. It just had to have been completely awful. I can't imagine what culminated for all of that to happen. Mm. So you have the hurt and the history and all of that stuff. And when Jesus came, he just delivered her. And she just, I'm sure she felt so free. And she just, you know, in fact, her and some of the other ladies devoted the rest of their lives to him. Mm-hmm. You know, they decided to follow him and not just follow him, but to then support his ministry with the different things that they had. I'm sure that they sold some things and that they actually gave money into his ministry because they were so devoted to what he was doing and to who he was. And so then when it was time for Jesus to go to the cross, which none of them thought that, none of them even knew that it was coming, even right. though he kind of told them a little bit here and there, you know, she wasn't expecting it. So it was just this horrible to them, horrible, tragic thing with him dying on the cross. And he's beaten and all of those things. And he dies on the cross and then they put him in the grave. And then we're going to pick up in John 21. So it's chapter 20, verse 1. It says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance." Then we're going to go down to verse 11. "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go and tell your brothers that I'm alive.'" So I love this story because she's so taken with her sorrow. She's so taken. She's coming with these spices in order to anoint his body, because that's how they did it, because, you know, the body would start to smell and that this is what they would do. And she came, and then she was even more devastated because he wasn't there. And she's like, "Just take me to him. Just please just take me to him." And then she has this experience where, you know, all of a sudden Jesus is there and she doesn't even recognize him because she's looking for a dead body. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus says, "Mary." And like, I can only, I mean, how do you think she felt inside at that moment?
Joyful.
Yeah.
Very joyful.
Yeah. I mean, just like, I mean, she expected to see him, but not alive.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But then to call her name, and it was a way, because she didn't recognize him. She saw him, but she didn't recognize him. But when he called her name, she felt so known.
Yeah.
Like, just like to realize that this was him. And just, I mean, I think it's just an amazing story. I love that story. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about, you know, as far as like love hearing your name. You know, we all really want to feel known. We want people to know us, to see us, right? Not just look at us from the outside and be like, you know, "Oh yeah, well, I'm going to guess that this person's like this," and just that automatic judging of, you know, the book for its, by its cover, you know, that kind of thing. And you don't want that. You want somebody to really know you. And it's not that you want everybody to know you, you know, I guess maybe some people, I don't know, maybe some people.
I used to think I wanted everybody to know me.
Yeah.
Now I just like to go away from people.
He's like, "Oh yeah, let me just stay over here." Yeah. So I think that, I think Mary felt really known in that moment.
Yeah.
I think that just not only realizing that he's alive, but just he called her. He showed up to her first.
Like, and he was the same, right? Mm-hmm. Like that he was the same that she knew before. Mm-hmm. It's still him now, you know, because I can imagine him saying it, "Mary," like he did when he was alive and walking around,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So I did want to take a look at David in the Bible. David did a lot of right things and he did a lot of wrong things. If you read it all about David, he kind of did stuff really, really right and stuff really, really wrong. So, but he had a very, very special relationship with God.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really special. He loved just spending time with God, which is something that right now, I mean, everyone needs to learn how to just fall in love with spending time with God, you know, just not just looking for something out of him or anything, but just being in love with him, you know, in his presence. And the really cool thing about him is that because they had this really close relationship, he's the first one to actually introduce how we worship God today. Because before that, it was sacrifice. It was sacrifices of animals and things. Yeah. And that's how they worshiped him.
Yep.
But he introduced music and song and lyrics.
And
you
dance.
Know, and dance. You're right. Yeah, absolutely.
You going to get up and dance?
Not right now, thank you.
Oh, okay.
How about sing? You want to sing first?
No.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
But yeah, so he's the one that how we
Zeke's
know,
gonna sing.
Zeke's gonna sing. Okay, he wants to give his two cents. Yes, so he's the one that how we know it today. All of those things, you know, singing and music and worship and dance and all of those things. I would like to read through Psalms 139, which is a chapter that I believe really shows how much God knows us. And I just think it's beautiful. So we'll just kind of take it a couple verses at a time and talk about it. So if you have any thoughts, just feel free to chime in. So Psalms 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. So I'm going to stop right there. How do you feel about that? How comfortable are you with that, with God searching you?
So I have learned, okay, that it's okay for God to search me. And so I am clean and sober 25 years. And when I first went to AA, by the grace of God, I had all these Christian women there, but I didn't know it at the time. And they told me that if I didn't like something about myself, I could change myself. I was like, wow, there's a concept. And because I needed God, I was very okay. And I would say to him, look at me. What do I need to change to be a better, to be the person you created me to be?
Wow.
And I think because I have consistently done that for 25 years, I'm much more comfortable now than in the beginning. And sometimes it's not pleasant. Like, you know, it's not always like, ooh, it's all peaches and cream, because it's not.
Right.
There's a lot of times that, you know, he points things out and I'm like, ooh, we have to work on that. So
yeah, yeah,
it's both.
Yeah. I think that I would feel the same way, but I think it's amazing that from that point when you were at probably, I would say, your lowest, you know,
absolutely,
you were looking to get well and to get better. And when you were at that point to be willing to allow God to search you, you know, because that's really brave. That's really brave because, you know, even now, some people, even if you've been in church for any period of time, you know, there's things that people don't want God to see.
Yes.
You know, even though he sees it, we all know that he sees it, but you know, we're just not going to talk about that part, you know?
We'll save that for another day to work on
it. Right. Right. But he does, he sees all of it. He sees the good, the bad, and the ugly for sure.
Yeah. And I think that that's when you first read that verse, it's like, do you really want that?
Yeah.
God, come look at all the junk. And I know it's not just junk. I mean, that we're not just full of junk.
Right.
But there's junk there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And I mean, he obviously he sees Jesus when he sees us. He sees us the person that he has created us to be. I mean, that is that is what he sees. But then he also sees the things that need to be cleaned out too. So that's but thankfully, he does it with such grace. He does it with such power, you know, and such love.
He does it in such love because in the beginning, I didn't even love myself. Mm. It took me a couple of years to actually go to church and meet God again, right? And and understand we had a lot of stuff we had to work on, and that was okay. And just for him, just it didn't matter. If you had to clean the garbage to get to the good spot, you know, then okay, clean the garbage because I want to get to that good spot. Because there was that point where peace and love that I have never known before, he had to clean out the garbage to get me there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's really good. That's super encouraging for those of you out there who feel like you have a lot, a lot going on and a lot of junk. And you know what? We all will have something going on until the day we die and we get to be with him forever.
Yes.
There will always be something that's not to be, you know, Debbie Downer again, but God is still working on me. There's that song.
Yep.
Growing up, you know, I always felt such solace in that song. He's still working on me.
Yep.
So that's always a good thing.
You know those whack-a-mole, like if you go to like a kid's thing? I always feel that's what God's doing with me. We're going to get rid of pride. Whack that mole. Oh, it's gone. Oh, here pops up, you know, this other one. So you work on that. And then just because you worked on pride doesn't mean that we're now, we can check that off.
Yes.
Things come back. Mm-hmm. And I am always like, wow, God has so much work to do.
But he is so gracious and he's so willing to do it. As long as we're willing to let him search us.
Yes.
You know? So I think that is really, really good. And we can take comfort in this too, because, you know, his very first verse says, you have searched me and you know me. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. I mean, than anybody knows us. He knows us. So I think that's pretty awesome. So verse 2, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. That's pretty crazy. When you think about how many people are in America, when you think about how many people are on this continent, you know, and he knows. In this, we're not just talking about people who follow him.
Yeah.
He knows everyone.
Yep.
And he knows when I sit down. He knows when I get... I mean, he's paying that much attention. Like, everyday things. He knows when I fall asleep. He knows when I wake up. He knows when, you know... And the fact that the creator of the universe pays attention to these minute things is just... Man, if you don't feel loved with that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't even need to know, like, when my kids, when they're, I mean, I might say, hey, did you have a good sleep? Okay, good. You know, I don't need to know the whole nine. Like, I don't need to know.
Exactly. Right, when did you go to sleep? When did you wake up?
How did you lay? How long did you lay that way? You
know? Right. Like, that would exhaust me trying to keep up with all that. We only have 4 kids. I mean, that would be exhausting for sure. All right, let's move on to verse 4. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. So this is also another amazing thing. I mean, he's talking about every word. Before any word is even on my tongue, before I say it, and that can be scary.
Yeah, because you say some crazy things.
I do.
You should be in the car with me sometimes.
So Tracy says crazy things too.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure I do.
Yes. And I mean, things that we regret sometimes, you know, whether we're with somebody, whether we're alone, you know, and just all the different thoughts. Again, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
You know, he sees all of it and he knows all of it. And it's just crazy. It's just so amazing to me. He knows every word before it's even on our tongue.
And he wants to know that. Mm. You know, it isn't like it's a full-time job for him. You know, like, now what is this person going to do? He truly wants that intimate relationship with us, right?
Yes.
And wants to know, oh, Tracy's disappointed today. I understand how that feels, or and truly have compassion and care about all the minute little things that are going on, you know?
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
That blows my
mind. That's a really good perspective too. Because, I mean, I always think about, oh, you don't want to hear all these bad things, you know? All these thoughts that I have going on in my head, you don't want to hear all that, you know? But yeah, but he does. He does want to know. He does it out of a love for us. It's not just that he just has the knowledge.
Yeah.
It's that he wants to, because he's always looking to connect with us.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's good. So verse 5 says, you hem me in behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. So we don't usually use the word hem unless you're talking about sewing a dress or pants or something. So the word hem here just means basically to be so close to us. He is so close to us before, you know, in front of us and in back of us, and he's just all around us. It's just this closeness it's a closeness in relationship. It's also a closeness of security and protection. The hemming in is like a guard, you know? So he's always there. He's before us and he's behind us. He's guarding our back, but he's also before us to go before us, whatever we do. You know, and then his hand is upon us. And so it's just this beautiful picture as we talk about, you know, how much he knows us and in all of our intricacies of life, that he is with us that close, you know, in relationship, but also guarding and protecting and leading and all those amazing things. Okay, so verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And what I hear when I read this verse is David going, mind blown. He can't conceive it. He's just sitting here. Maybe it wasn't when he was a boy in the field. Maybe it was. But I just picture him laying down, you know, as the sheep are kind of maybe resting at that time, and just looking up at the sky, and just, he just can't believe it. He cannot fathom this closeness, this just feeling so known by God. So I don't know. That's just me.
No, that's true. I think he was so blown away with who God was, and he wants that relationship with me, you know, like in his case, I'm just a shepherd boy, right? Or I'm just, you know, playing a harp, you know, or whatever he's doing. And God wants to know me.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Right. And that is pretty cool.
Yeah. And he wants to know us and everyone out there who's listening, and everyone. He wants to know everybody that same way and have that same closeness.
Yeah.
That is mind blowing. It really is. Let's see. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? So we've kind of shifted a little bit here. The beginning, it's all of the things that God knows about us. And in that just beautiful picture of that relationship. So it kind of shifts here. It shifts to where can I go and not find you? So let's just go ahead and read through this part here. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So this is so cool. We can go anywhere. We can go to a remote island where there's never been anybody there before. We can go to the farthest depths of the ocean, which I really don't have any desire to do that. but we could, and no matter where we go, no matter if we fly into space as far as we possibly can, and it's light years and light years away, you know, like he's there. And it's not just that he's there, but he's already there.
And for me too, it's like, no matter where you try to go and hide, right? Because that's for many, many years, I hid, right? For multiple reasons. But no matter where I tried to go and hide, God was still with me, right? He didn't go, you're a waste. You know, catch you when you come back on the right side. Like, he was still there wooing me, right? And saying, come on. And I'm like, no, I'm running further, you know?
You're going to try to find that place where he's not.
I'm going to try to find where you can't find me.
Yeah.
And no matter what, how bad it got, he was still there. Yeah. And when I finally got to that point in my life where I had nowhere to go, I didn't want to live, I didn't want to die. Only thing I had to do was look up. And you know, when I looked up, he was reaching down. He's like, oh, finally, come on, you know? That was awesome. Yeah. That was awesome to be found. So
yeah, and I think that that's really what he's talking about when he's talking about the darkness, because that's where people want to go hide, right? There's a reason why there's no windows in bars.
Yeah.
There's a reason why there's no windows in a lot of places that people really shouldn't be. And people try to hide, but David sees it. David says, even when I'm trying to be in the darkness, even when I am trying to hide like that, the darkness is as light.
Yep.
Because he's like, yep, I see right where you're at. I see exactly where you're at. And so this can be something that we're dreading, you know, like you said, running and running. But still to know that whenever you're ready, he's right there.
Yep.
It can also be a huge comfort. It can be a huge comfort if life is moving you, if life is putting you in a place that you've never been and you have no family and you have no nothing. He's there. I can remember being, amazingly comforted when I was in a place that horrible things were happening, to look back and know that he was right there. Because at the time, most of the time, you don't think that.
Yeah.
But to look back and to know that he was right there with me is such a comforting thing, as he knows, you know, Jesus didn't go through anything that none of us has suffered from.
Yep.
Like he knew all of it. He knew all of it. So it can definitely be a comforting thing to know that no matter where I go, no matter where I've been, he's been there all along and so close, hemming us in the front, in the back, you know, with his hand on us.
Yep. And to just like say, he doesn't go, well, it took you long enough, or, you know, just pouring out love in that moment that I didn't love myself. I didn't love life. I didn't want to be here. Right.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. He still just gave me his love. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, you know, hand on the hip. Well, hey, you know,
about time
you got here. Nice to see you wised up. It wasn't anything like that. Yeah. He just bestowed love on me. And when, in the beginning, people loved me, and they told me this, we're going to love you until you love yourself.
Yeah.
And they did. And very gradually I could. And the more that I started to love myself, the more the light came in and the more I knew, hey, everybody makes mistakes. You know, it's okay.
Right. Right.
And God's a forgiving God. Right. Yeah. He doesn't go, well, you know, remember you did that 10 minutes ago and we had a conversation about it. And I'm grateful for that, you know, because when you get to that point and you put it behind you, that's where it is.
Yeah. 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 That's beautiful. That's awesome. Okay, verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Again, each and every one of us, each and every one of us. He was there. Yeah. He was there when he, you know, he was just like, oh, and I'm going to make him have this color eyes and these kind of ears and the father's nose and the mom's chin and the whatever, yeah. you know, like he was there. And this really resonates with me because I think about when God first created the earth, right? So we know that he spoke light and then there was light. Yeah. So he spoke light and there it was. In the following days, when he created the rest of the earth, like the animals and such, it doesn't say specifically how. It just says, you know, he mm-hmm. separated the waters and land came up and the birds and everything. So we don't know exactly how. But when he created Adam, he was very specific. So he went down with his hands. He said, let us make, speaking about God himself in the three-part Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he said, let us make man in our own image. And he chose to get the dirt together, the clay, and to form Adam with his hands. He didn't have to do that. He could say man, and he could be there. I think that he could probably wink, and he would, you know, like it doesn't even take hardly anything, but he chose to mold Adam with his hands. And then the even more intimate part is when he blew into his nostrils the breath of life to bring life to Adam. Like, if you think about, if you've ever had to do or even practice CPR, that is a very intimate thing, mm-hmm. a very intimate thing. When you put your mouth to somebody else's mouth or nose in that way, like it, that is an intimate thing. And the way that he chose to create man was a very intimate experience. And so when I think about how he created us and knit us together in our mother's womb, like how that reflects his love and his passion for people. So I just think that that's a really cool, I love that verse. So verse 14, it says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are beautiful. I know that full well. And I was reading this last night and it says that I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I don't know how much I believe that. Or that I believed that. But then it says, your works are wonderful. And I can remember having a conversation with somebody, it was a couple years ago. And she just really was down on herself in the way she looked, which she wasn't. She was gorgeous, you know. But she just was. And she's like, oh, I look so terrible. And I just, oh, all this stuff. And I looked at her and I said, are you saying what God created is ugly? And she just looked at me and she was like, so taken back. Like just, she never thought about that. Mm-hmm. She never thought about when I put myself down in that way, that I'm insulting what God, I'm saying that he did not make something that was wonderful. And she just was like, so taken back. She said, I am never going to say that again. Like how dare I look at myself anything less than how God sees me? You know, I just that kind of just rang with me because, you know, we're our worst critic, you know, different things. And we do know ourselves pretty good. And mm-hmm. so we focus on the not so good stuff sometimes.
And I had that experience living down here. Mm-hmm. Right. I always used to say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm one of your dumb sheep. You know, I learned the hard way and blah, blah, blah. And one day I was walking and mm-hmm. and God very clearly said, you are not a dumb sheep. Yeah. You are a daughter of the king. Mm. Stop it. And I was like, wow, yeah, I am, right? Mm. And I have never said that about myself again yeah. because I am not a dumb sheep.
Right.
I am a daughter of the king.
Right, exactly.
Who's learning.
and yes, we all are. Yeah. We're all learning. But did that make you walk differently?
It did. I held my head higher.
Yeah.
And how I present myself is with that I am not a dumb sheep. Mm-hmm. I am a daughter of the king. And that really, that presence that you bring when you're, you know, that's how you feel. Mm-hmm. They're like night and day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. God's so good like that, isn't he?
He is.
And he brings those things to us, but he says them passionately, but with such love. And you're just like, oh, you're right. You're right. Okay, verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. Oh, wow. Like, before the foundations of the earth. My body was not, I wasn't even, my great, 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 great grandparents weren't even a twinkle in their parents' eye. Mm-hmm. You know? So long ago. Like, when he was creating Adam, you know? He knew what you were going to do tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it just, it's so, I can't grasp it. I feel like I don't have words. Like, I can't fathom what that's like. But just to know, I mean, who better to trust with our lives, right? We make plans, but thank God that he directs our steps. Yeah. Because he knows. I mean, amazing.
Well, that's when I hated my name for as long as I can remember, mm-hmm. which is a long time. I hated my name, right? And not too long ago, somebody said, well, what name would you have gave yourself? And I said, I don't know. I came up with this name. I don't know. Whatever. And then I realized God knew me and knew my name before he put any of this into existence. And if he did that so long ago, there's a purpose that I have this name. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with my name today.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, okay, I'm Tracy. You know, I'm who God created, you know.
And what does your name mean?
Warrior.
So it's pretty appropriate. Yeah. I think he did
amazing
a good job.
Amazing how she didn't like it.
I know. Mm.
Oh, he does have a really good sense of humor.
That he does.
Oh, verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake, I am still with you. So we did a little example recently. And I filled up I believe it was a 32 ounce mason jar with sand. And our youngest, Josiah, he did some math. He found out some facts about sand, grains of sand. And he did an estimation, we'll call it that. And I kind of cut the number down just a little bit just because I didn't want it to be an exaggeration at all. But how many grains of sand do you think fit in that jar? I know.
Billions and billions and millions of billions. I mean, they're so tiny.
Yes, yes.
And so many can fit in just a little jar. Yeah. It would be billions and trillions, you know?
Well, when he did the math with sand in about 32 ounce, the number was over 350 million grains of sand.
Wow.
In one jar. One regular, you know, you want to can some peaches jar. And I mean, just to think just that small amount. And then when you think about, I mean, we live in Florida, you think about the beaches, and then you think about, you know, Nevada that has all kinds of sand everywhere, you know, the desert. And then you think about the Sahara Desert. I mean, you can't possibly, there's no way to know the number, but just to understand that David is saying that God's thoughts towards you, towards me, outnumber that many grains of sand.
That's mind blowing, isn't it?
Yes.
Like to think that, stand on a beach and just look at just the sand and it's like, Wow. Yeah. Now you throw in all the other scenes.
Right.
Wow.
One thing that Bill Johnson says that I just think is such a good thing to remember, and I believe it's in light of the idea of how many thoughts that God has towards us, is that he says, I can't afford to have a thought in my mind that he doesn't already have for me.
Wow.
Because there's, if he thinks about us, if he has that many different thoughts about us, I can't afford to have anything that he, and we know what he thinks towards us is loving and amazing. So any other thoughts that I have, they don't belong in my head. And if we want to know what he thinks, ask him. Because he'll tell you.
Yeah.
And I mean, you might be speechless. He will tell you. And I don't think very many people ask that. Mm-mm. What do you think of me? They might be afraid of what he says. But I can promise you, it's amazing. And you're going to feel so loved and so known if you ask him and he shares that with you. So there are a couple of verses in here, 19 through 22, that we're not going to necessarily focus on. It's basically like, you know, how much David loves God because he hates everything that God hates. That's basically what it says. So we're just going to kind of jump over that, and we're going to go to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive or wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I think it's very interesting that the first verse says, you have searched me and you know me. And then he ends with, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. It's just interesting to me. Like, I saw that, like, okay, so you already established that God has searched you and he knows you. So when I really started thinking about it, it's like, okay, he's saying it as fact. God has searched me and he knows me. That's a fact. But then he comes to the end, because if we look at the whole chapter, we have a chapter that starts with, this is how much you know me. You know me so much more than I know myself. And you still don't want me to go anywhere without you. And I mean, honestly, there was a lot of times in my life that I'm like, are you sure, God? Are you sure you still want to be around me? Are you sure? I mean, you know the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know everything. You know more than I know. Are you sure? Because, you know, I'm trying to go here, there, and everywhere to get out of your presence. No matter where I go, you're going to be there, because you want to be there, like how you were talking about before, Tracy. Mm-hmm. You know, because he loves us that much, because he wants that relationship. And so, and then he goes back into how, you know, he knows all of our days and he has all these amazing thoughts about us and all these other things. And so then when it comes to the end, the beginning was a fact that he was stating. You've searched me and you know me. But the last two verses, David gives an invitation to God. Search me and know me. He searches all of us. Mm-hmm. But when we come to the point where we invite him, like you were talking about earlier, which is a beautiful thing, when you invite him, search me, God, and know me, it's a place of submission. It's a place of laying down what I want, what I think I know, just submitting all of it for him.
Mm-hmm.
For him to come and search me. And so David, so that's why. It's like he states it, and then he goes through, this is how much you know me, and I try to run from you, trying to be in the darkness because I don't want you to know, you know, but you can still see me, and all of these things. And then it comes to the point of, okay, God, search me. Know me. Tell me about any of my anxious thoughts. Reveal things to me, like you were talking about earlier. Show me if there's any offensive or wicked way in me, and then lead me in your way, because his way is the everlasting way. Lead me in your way. And so I just think it's kind of like this sandwich chapter, you know, a very amazing sandwich chapter. but
for me, that was a big thing mm-hmm. because I had surrendered to Jesus a long time. When I was 9 years old, mm-hmm. I surrendered to Jesus. But it was a submitting that you had to submit mm-hmm. every day to him. That was mind-blowing to me mm-hmm. because somehow I thought, well, hey, if you have Jesus, you should just know. And I memorized those last two verses mm-hmm. and would pray them every night before I went to bed.
Wow.
And I was just like, you know what? I'm giving you permission and I'm submitting myself to you. And if there's something that you need to reveal to me, then do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't do it all at once because if he did this mm-hmm. dump of...
would die.
I'd go poof. My head would go poof. I'm done. So gradually, mm-hmm. as I was ready to understand things, then he would say, hey, we're going to change that. And I think that's like where, you know, removing me anything that makes me anxious. Mm-hmm. That's where all that came in. And sometimes I didn't even know what... that was until he cleaned it out. And I was like, wow, I feel so much better, you know? Didn't even know that was an issue. And so that was such a thing for me to submit every day.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think David's kind of like, yeah, God, come on. Like, you know, because he wants that relationship back mm-hmm. with him, mm-hmm. you know, with God. So,
Yeah, when we feel that known and that taken care of, in my book, okay, you have it. Just have it all, God.
Yep.
You know, you can only make it better.
Yep.
So have it all, you know. So I really hope that you feel known today. I hope that you, and you know what? I encourage you, read through Psalms 139 over and over and over again, and you will feel known by God and absolutely loved by God.
Hey, before you wrap up, I want Tracy to tell her story about the Bible.
Oh.
Because do you want to know why I want you to tell the story? Well, you tell it, and then I'll tell you why I want you to tell it.
So I had God request me to buy a Bible for a lady that lived up the street from me. She was in early recovery, right? But besides that, she was my daughter's friend's mom. And he kept saying, Tracy, buy that lady a Bible. I want you to go buy her a Bible. And I kept saying, surely I'm not hearing correctly. You want me to buy a Bible for somebody who don't go to church? Okay. So one day it was like 3 weeks, me and God are having this thing. And every day he kept saying, buy her a Bible, buy her a Bible. So one day I'm going by Ollie's and God said, Tracy, I want you to buy her a Bible. So I said, fine, I'll go in Ollie's, but I'm not paying more than $10. I'll buy one. And I went in and I found a really nice woman's study Bible and it was under $10. And so I took it home and I parked my car and I walked up the street and the whole time I'm going, I want you to know Jesus for you. I'm going to give this. And when she laughs at me, I just know that I'm being obedient. So I go up and I knock on the door and she answered the door and I gave her, I said, here, God's been asking me to get you, you know, a Bible. So I've got you this Bible. And I said, Jesus is the only thing that's kept me clean and sober. If you have any questions, feel free, read it. I'll help you with it. And she starts crying and she goes, I've been praying for 3 weeks for a Bible. And Tracy walks home going, wow, God, I'm really feeling pretty bad right now. But the next time you ask me to do something, it won't take you 3 weeks.
See, and I know when you tell that story, you talk about it from the perspective of obedience. But if you think about it, that was how she knew that she was known by God. Because she had been asking for that, not knowing how that was going to happen, and you showed up. That was God saying to her, you are known.
That is true. Wow. I never thought of that.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Points over here.
Once in a while.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for asking her to do that. Because, yeah, I mean, I love that story because, yeah, you're right. The obedience thing. But, yeah, can you imagine, like, hey, God knows I'm here. God cares.
And
God
loves
me.
God hears that.
Yeah.
Like I never looked at that from her perspective, maybe because I was so humbled all the way. But like to never, you know, to look at that side and, you know, she has passed away since then. And I can only hope that she read it and understood, you know, she never asked me questions. So I didn't, you know, pursue anything with her, but I hope that she read it and understood things, you know, and you're right. God heard her. I mean, unfortunately, I was the slower end of that story, but, you know.
It's gotten better.
But it's gotten much better.
God is so gracious, isn't he?
He is.
He's so gracious. So I just want to encourage you, everyone out there, everyone here, God knows the number of hairs on your head. He was there when you were created in your mother's womb. He thinks, he has so many amazing thoughts for you. Mm. So ask him. Ask him what he's thinking about you. I promise you will not regret it. And I really hope that you really take this on as your identity, as you are known, because you are known. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you are known. And if you are willing to submit and allow God to show you how you are known and how much he thinks about you, you're never going to regret it. You're just never going to regret it. So I really hope that you decide to join us again next time to learn more about identity, a different aspect about identity. And thank you so much, Tracy, for being with us today and sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes. I love your perspective on things. It's beautiful.
And Zeke says thank you, too.
Thank you, Zeke, for your input. We really appreciate you. Until next time, continue believing in the one and only true God. And we'll see you then.